Recording this, and I have a feeling I've got at least one more week on Noah, and we'll see where we go. But we are inching closer. We are moving faster and or moving farther down the line. And so I am simply entitling this one The Pause. The Pause. And so that's just where I felt to take this. As I was just reading, and I think I've read Genesis chapter 7 and 8 probably 50 times over the last 4 weeks. So I just keep reading it and just keep studying this area. And so we will jump right into this. We're just going to call this The Pause. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. It is not simply, I'm waiting on God, so therefore I won't do anything. Okay, I'm going to wait for God to do it. I'm going to wait for God to do everything. That's not what waiting for God is. Waiting for God first means activity under command. Activity under command. It's the ability, second, it's the readiness for any new command that may come. And third, it is the ability to do only what was already commanded until the new command is given. So the first thing to understand is that I'm not just sitting around doing nothing. I am doing what God has told me to do first. And I will continue to do that over and over as long as it takes until God says, okay, I'm ready for you to do the next thing. Okay, I'm always ready. I'm always waiting for God to speak and to tell me what the new thing to do is. But I'm not going to move ahead and I'm not going to jump ahead until he says to do so. Okay, in the words of the early American preacher Phillips Brooks, he was actually the writer of O Little Town of Bethlehem. And in a day, he was found, on this particular day, he was found pacing the floor. He was looking frustrated when a friend asked him what the trouble was. And he promptly said, "The trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." I'm ready to move, and God hasn't said so yet. I'm waiting for God to answer, and it just seems like it's not there. And I will admit today that the pause is not what any of us want to hear. We don't like the pause. We want the blessings. We want the answers. We want the results. If it doesn't happen, then, you know, there must be something wrong with us, or there might be something wrong with God. Maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe he's not answering me. We feel the need, and I wrote this, we feel the need to be validated. We feel the need that something has to happen to validate either my faith or my belief or where God has placed me. I'll be honest, as a pastor, when things don't happen sometimes the way I would like, you know, you think, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm not doing something right, right? I mean, if someone isn't healed, why didn't it happen? You know, we feel the need for those things to happen to validate our ministry, to validate who we are. Really, in our, it's a lot of it is the cause of a results-driven society. We want results. We have to see results, and we have to see them quickly. We want to see them take place. But I can actually show you through Scripture that I'm going to use the word every great man of God had a pause in their life. They had a moment of waiting. Even Jesus had a pause before he stepped into his ministry. Okay, before, and I put this, before the promise was fulfilled, there's a pause. You look at Job, you look at Abraham, you look at Isaac, you look at Jacob, you look at Joseph, you look at Samuel, you look at David, and on and on and on I could go. And if I have concluded anything, it is this: waiting on God is as much the part of the process as the fulfillment of the promise. Waiting on God is just as important as the promise itself. Because here's the deal. Most times, the reason it doesn't happen is we jump the gun. We have jumped ahead of when God said, now's the time. We find it through Scripture that He has a specific time and place for everything. His will. I can be in the will of God, but out of the time of God. I could be doing what God wants me to do, but not doing it when He wants me to do it. So often, so often the story of Noah is focused on the 40 days and nights that were in the ark, right? We all know of Noah being in the ark 40 days, you know, it rained 40 days and nights. But I'm going to show you tonight that the 40 days was only the time of the rain, and Noah was in the ark much longer than 40 days. Okay, we see the rain for 40 days. That's most of the time when we teach in Sunday school, we talk about the rain 40 days and 40 nights. But we must understand that there was a very long pause in Noah's life. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all of the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Okay, we see a time frame. It says in the second month, the 17th day of the month, it was in the 600th year of Noah's life. So Noah was 600, and it was in the second month, 17th day of the month. And the Bible says that the fountains of the deep broke up, right? And the windows of heaven were open. And verse 12, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? So we see the initial 40 days and 40 nights. But if you go down to verse 24, it says, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Okay, so you have the 40 days, and now you have 150 days, and the waters haven't gone away yet. The waters are still there. So in other words, Noah is still on the ark 3 months later. Okay, I looked in just to take an average on a Jewish calendar, it's 29 and a half days for a month on a Jewish calendar on an average. So we are looking somewhere, it's right around 30 days. So you're looking 150 days. You are talking 3 months that Noah is on almost. But we're going to get way past this part. So much so that chapter 8, verse 1 gives us a rather interesting verse. I'm going to touch it later, but, you know, I mean, you've been sitting, you know, the rain stopped, right? I can just see Noah. Okay, God told me to get on this boat. Okay, it stopped raining. 3 months later, I'm still here. Okay, I want you to get that picture in your mind. And the Bible says, I like the way it says in a verse in chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah, as if God forgot about him. Here's Noah floating, you know, what are they, about 26 feet above the highest mountain, and there's Noah floating around in this water, right? And then God says, oh yeah, let me fix this Noah here. Right? That's the way it kind of reads. We're going to talk about this here in a minute. This Bible says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged. All right, I want you to notice this. God caused a wind to blow and move the waters from off the earth. Okay? Probably. We're going to talk about that wind here in a minute, because that wind seems to be showing up all over the place. Yes. Watch this. Hey, here we go. 8 verse 3. Now remember, God remembers Noah in 8 verse 1. Now 8 verse 3. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. So now we've went to 7 months. Noah is still on the ark. You ready? Let's go to verse 5. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So now Noah has been on the ark for 10 months. It's still not over yet. I would hate to have smelled what that ark might have smelled like after 10 months with all those animals, but we won't go there. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened a window of the ark which he had made. Okay, so Noah opens a window and lets out a raven. Okay, the Bible says the raven, verse 7, and the raven went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Here's this raven flying around trying to find a place to land. Okay, and also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark, and he stayed there another 7 days, and he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back in the evening. Okay, and so Noah knew the waters were abated from the earth. Watch verse 12. And he stayed there yet another 7 days and sent the dove again, which returned not again. You ready? Now this is where it gets. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Noah, after 1 year, is still on the ark. Okay, almost to a year, not quite. Watch this. Now let's go to verse 14. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried, and God spake unto Noah. Notice, this is when he spoke. On the second month, the 27th day. Notice, you don't hear nothing from God. From the time God said, get on the ark, until the time God says, go forth from off the ark. There is a period of a year that Noah does not hear it. It's what I call a pause. There is a pause right here of a full year. When Noah was 600, the Bible says in the 17th day of the second month of the year, he was told, that's when God told him, come thou all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. So I want you to notice that. 600, it was the year 60, it was 600. It was the 17th day and the second month of the year. Now, in the 601st year of Noah's life, the 27th day of the second month of the year, God tells him, go forth. So we have over a year that Noah is left on the ark. His total time in the ark was a year and 10 days. I don't know what Noah's conversations and what Noah's thought processes might have been. I know how I think. Now, God, when you talked to me, you spoke of 40 days of rain. I didn't hear anything about being cooped up in this boat for a year. That's just the way my mind works.
I mean, I see 40 days, but we see a year that he was there. That is what you call a pause. But what did Noah do? Noah was faithful with what God had commanded him to do during that time frame. You see nothing from Noah. All you see is Noah doing what he was supposed to do. Noah doing what he was supposed to do. He took care of the animals. He did his thing. He waited until the next word from God came. He got a word from God that said, go on there. And then he waited until he got a word from God that said, come off. There was nothing that happened to him. He waited on God. See, that doesn't necessarily register with us all the time because, you know, we're thinking, you know, God tells me to do something, then I'm going to expect this, all these things to happen, right? It's all got to line up in the first amount of time. It's got to line up very quickly. When God may say, yeah, this is what I want you to do, but, oh, by the way, I want to keep you right here for just a while because I'm working on some things, I'm preparing some things, and when I'm ready, then I'll tell you the next thing to do. That's the part we have to learn and understand, that in our relationship with God and our walk with God, when we're serving God and trying to do his will, we must be aware that there is a pause. That it's not all going to happen. See, we live in a society that all has to happen quick, but God doesn't answer to our time clock. Yes. God told him. I'm sure God provided it. I am 100% certain that there were some miracles that were taking place along the way. You had divine intervention because you had God telling him to do something that was just absolutely out of a man's ability to do. God closed it. It doesn't tell us. It just tells us God said, go forth. The door opened. Fill this room, fill that room, fill. Yeah, there's a lot of questions that go into this. And I, you know, like my desire is not necessarily to answer all those questions. They're believe me, you can go find it. There's all kinds of stuff out there. I could spend months just in that arena alone, just in that kind of stuff. But that's not really where I want to show us what the word's saying, not necessarily getting, because there's, you know, we don't know all that stuff. And I guess if God thought I should know it, he would have put it there. That, you know, it's very obvious. We can do what you're doing because we can make some deductions based upon scriptures and based upon things that we see. His total time, I found this interesting that God never told Noah how long the pause was. He never told him how long that time period was going to be. Only thing he said was rain for 40 days and nights. And if I remember right, when I was reading that, I didn't find that until after he was getting on the boat. He's getting on the boat with the animals. God says, oh yeah, I'm going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. No mention that I could find of the year. Okay, he did not tell him he would be on the ark for the year. All he told him was he was going to destroy everything and that he was going to establish a new covenant with him. There was the promise of a covenant. This is what I got out of this. There was the promise of the covenant that was good enough for Noah. All Noah needed to hear was that God gave me a promise of a new covenant. God gave me a promise that a covenant was going to happen between me and him. That's good enough. You look at Abraham. Abraham walked with God. For how long did he walk with the promise of a covenant that is going to be transferred from you to your child? There's going to be this transfer. But there was a long wait before it happened. Following the will of God is a progressive journey in that God will tell you what to do next. He may give you a promise, but what we don't know is how long in any given step he will keep us. He's going to tell us, Joe, this is what I want you to do right now. And you know what he wants me to do? He wants me to be faithful in what he told me to do next. He wants me to remain faithful in what I'm supposed to do next. He hasn't told me what he's going to do 20 years from now. He's told me, Joe, this is what I want you to do now. And here's the deal. If I will be faithful where I am right now, if we'll be faithful in the step that God has told us to, then God says, when my time is right, then I will add and tell you the next step to go. I will end that pause and move you to the next place. I will bring you to the promise. This to me was so cool. In chapter 8, verse 1, we'll go back to this. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. Okay, the word remembered is, it's, you know, as I said earlier, it's kind of a funny word. You know, by the glance, it's as if God remembered after he forgot. You know, like he forgot all about Noah sitting there. Now, we know that God didn't do that. That's not the case. But I think as it's written, I kind of wonder how Noah might have felt. God, did you forget about me down here, right? I mean, while we're in the middle of the pause, when we're not sure what our next step is to do, sometimes it feels and appears that God has abandoned us, that God has forsaken us, that God has forgotten us. But you have to understand, if God has kept you in a place and said, this is where I want you right now, and he's not told you the next step to take, what you must understand is the reason you're there is because he's preparing the next thing. He's getting something ready for you to step into, and he is not under our time clock to make it happen, but he's going to make sure that all the things surrounding it, that everything is right, so when you take that next step, it is the absolute right thing to do. See, we make our assumptions and we make our best guesses and we take our steps, and that's where we get messed up. That's where we get in trouble, because that wasn't what God said. God said, this is where you stand, and you'll wait here till I say otherwise. The word there, remembered, I thought this was so cool. It actually means to mark as to be recognized. Okay, in other words, God marked him and recognized what he had done. In other words, God said, you know what? You have been faithful to everything I have told you to do. Now I've recognized it. Now I've put a mark on it. And now I will move along the process. And it's here that we see something take place that God says, now I will make a wind to pass over the earth. I want you to get that God said, now's the time. I have marked him. I have seen it. I understand that he's been faithful. Now I'll cause my wind to blow. It kind of reminds me of the day of creation. What does the Bible say? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What happened? God said, okay, I've let this stay, it's form and void. Now it's time for something to happen. Let me have my Spirit move. When we see Noah here, God says, okay, I've marked it. It's time. Now let my wind blow. Oh, you see this. You'll see this passage. It'll play itself. It seems to be, as I was studying this and reading this, it seems to be the signature end of the pause. When God says, I am done with the pause, and it's time for you to move on. When God says, you have waited long enough, and it's time for me to fulfill my promise in you. I'm here to tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find that the Spirit of God begins to move. The wind of God begins to blow, and he will breathe. That is the signature end when God says, it's now time for my promise to be fulfilled. Now, I was just saying that you have, go ahead, before I get into this.
Right. Right. Yeah. Watch this. Now, I was just here Sunday. I just said this Sunday. Watch this. He told his disciples, what did he tell them? He says, hold on, I want you to wait. I want you to tarry at Jerusalem. I want you to go there and wait at Jerusalem. Remember, I asked you a question. I think I found my answer. I want you to wait. I want you to wait for the promise to come. And what did he say? I want you to go there, tarry in Jerusalem until something takes place. And when he said, okay, you have waited long enough, it's time to put my mark on you, right? And that's where we read in Acts 2 and verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. What happened? The mark to the end of the pause was the Spirit of God moving and blowing. Let me tell you, I think I'm understanding when God says, this is when I want you to go. His Spirit will move it. His Spirit will blow on it. It will happen when he says it's time. It happened on the day of Pentecost. It happened with Noah. What I'm learning from God and learning is that God says your next step. He says this is your next step and this is what you need to do. I don't know how long I'll need to stay here, but I know this. When it's time for me to change, when it's time for me to take the next step, there will be a moving of his Spirit in my life. His Spirit will lead. His Spirit will guide. He will cause the winds of his Spirit to blow in my life to allow me to understand, now it's time. It's not going to be up to a guess. It's not going to be left to a chance that, well, maybe this is the right move and maybe this is the right thing to do and maybe. There was no doubt when God said winds blow. There's no doubt when it happens. What I must make sure, and I'm going to be wrapping in real quick. What I must make sure is that sometimes my notes kill me. What I must make sure I do is to be willing to wait. Remember, waiting is not inactivity. Waiting is not laziness. Waiting is just simply doing what God has told me to do now and just continuing to do that and being faithful in what he's told me to do. And I just stay faithful and I stay faithful and I stay faithful until God says, okay, now it's time. That was another pause. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Notice what he did. But he did everything, right? He did, God told him, I want you to do this. He did it, right? And then God says, okay, now's the time for the next step. Get on the ark. And he did that. And then there was a pause again, right? Until God said, okay, I want you to take the next step. You watch Noah's life and you watch. Noah moved when God said move. Noah did. That's why the Bible could say, everything that God commanded, Noah did. Because God said, Noah, I want you to start building the ark. What did Noah do? He built the ark. He built it until God said, okay, I want you to start getting the animals, or I want you to start gathering the food. He starts gathering the food. Okay, I want you to start building the ark. I want you to start bringing on the animals. He brings on the animals. I want you to get into the ark. He gets into the ark. And now he waits until God says, okay, I want you to come off the ark. Notice, he stayed on there. The Bible says the waters had landed, and even the waters, the boat had even touched down. But he still waited until there was about a month wait where he could have probably got out and sloshed his way off that boat. He could have gotten off ahead of time had he wanted to. Remember, he ripped the top off of it. He looked out. He could see everything around. But Noah waited until God says, now, come off. He might have been in over his head, right? What we have to make sure is that we're willing to wait, however long that is. It could be a month, 2 months, 3 months, a year, 2 years. How long? I don't know. I don't know when God says now's the next time. But what I do know is the last word he has given me is the word I'm going to be faithful in until the next one. Exactly. He's on a completely different time frame than we are. Okay, I found this interesting. Watch these passages. I'm gonna show you all of these passages because we don't like to talk about the pause. You know, we want the blessings, we want the healings, we want the deliverance, we want all the action, we want the results, we want to see all this great thing happen, right? But I want to show you this. I mean, I already showed you about this pause earlier. I want to show you this. David said, this was David's words, Psalm 62, verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." David said, wait on God. Solomon said, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. David said, Solomon said, Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a sure foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Watch, he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, that person who believeth is going to wait. He's going to wait for God. That one was Isaiah 28, 16. Jeremiah says this in Lamentations 3, 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's what Jeremiah said. Micah, another prophet, says this in Micah 7, verse 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's where we get the passage, one of my favorite ones in Scripture. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. But notice the passage before that. He says, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. While the enemy is trying to say, your God doesn't hear you, your God doesn't see you, your prayers aren't being answered, this isn't happening, that is, see, you must not be doing things right, you must not be living right. In other words, what he's saying is, don't rejoice against me, enemy, because right now you see it looks bad, but the Lord will see me, and God hears me, and he and I will wait for him. Jesus even said this in Luke 21, 19, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. That's kind of scary. If my soul is possessed in my patience, well, I read one quote somewhere. It was a poem, actually, and it got to going. It said, it says something in the end. It said, you know, women seldom have patience and men never do. So it was kind of cute. But in your patience, possess ye your souls. Jesus wasn't the last one to say something, because Paul goes on to say this in 8:25. But if we hope for that that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit all helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's saying, look, this intercessory prayer, you don't just expect a genie in the bottle. You've got to do things with patience. If we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. James says this in James 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or complete, that word means complete, and entire, wanting nothing. Notice if I'm not patient, there's wants. Means, you know why? Because I've messed up. I've stepped out on my own, and it's not the right situation for me. But if I'm patient and I wait for God to tell me the next step to take, and I take that step, guess what? I'm wanting nothing. Yes, you. Exactly. Watch, Peter says this. So I want you to think about the names I've read already. David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Micah, Jesus, Paul, James. Now Peter says this in 2 Peter 1 verse 7. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that these ye might be partakers of the divine. So what is he teaching us? That we're going to be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? There is a divine nature that God wants us to take on. Okay, to be partakers of the divine nature. Why? So that we are given exceeding and great precious promises, right? There are promises that he wants to bestow upon us. And watch what it says. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to your virtue knowledge, add to your knowledge temperance, and to your temperance patience. Here we go with patience again. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. So once again, we have patience here. The writer of Hebrews, while many believe it's Paul, some would argue it's not. It doesn't matter. It's the Bible. Hebrews 10 verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God. I want you to notice this. Bernard says exactly what Noah did, exactly what you were alluding to, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Notice that. You have need of patience. We have need of patience, that I've stepped out, I've done the will of God, and yet I'm still waiting for the promise. Patience is what helps me there. Watch, here we go. It goes from here. That the promises of God will be fulfilled. Watch what he says. He first told them, go in. Then he said, pause. And then he said, come out. And now watch. And then the promise. Genesis 8, verse 22. And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But that's not the promise yet. I want you to notice that Noah was willing. He waited. He waits. He waits. He waits. God opens it. God says, okay, make a sacrifice. He makes a sacrifice, and now God blesses him. Okay, we jump ahead to the blessing, but you have to wait for God to do it. He waits. God blesses him. And now watch. Here we go. Chapter 9, verse 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of the beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. That covenant is still intact. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. I want you to notice, at the end of the pause, God says, now I'm going to establish my covenant. A covenant that is still in existence today, that God has yet to remove the covenant. You think about that next time. I've seen some pretty rainbows in my life. I've seen some giant ones. And every time you see it, it is simply the covenant of God saying, I'm going to set a bow in the cloud. Yeah, right. I'm sure sometimes when it's raining, it's pouring, I just think in my human mind, I'd be thinking, man, if I was God, just let it keep raining. But then that bow shows up. He says, oh, I better turn it off. I better stop. I'm not going to destroy them. It's not going to happen again. It's a covenant. And so I close the fact that we know that we have promises. We know we have things that God wants for our lives, and how easy it is to be discouraged when it doesn't happen quite like I think it should. And it doesn't happen the way that I think it should. And it doesn't seem to happen at the speed I think it should. The next time we do, think about Noah. Right, Bernice? When he waited. I forgot, from last week to this week, I know it was in my notes on how long that was between the time God, it was 100 years that God told him. God told him, you start getting the boat ready. And 100 years later, he gets it ready. And then it's, get on the ark for another year. Think about that. Think about all of the time before the promise came intact. Guess what? We have another promise coming. We have a promise that he's coming again. And we may think, man, there's a long pause here. There's a long wait here. But guess what? It's a promise. And when it comes time, he's going to split that sky. Good, I have double hands open. I believe it's there. I believe it tells us the exact, where is it on Arafat? Yeah, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So it was the seventh month from the time that he told him to go on the ark. That I don't know. Well, actually, once they landed on Arafat and the wind blew, they didn't go nowhere. Well, actually, the you're correct. I don't know how far that was. What we know is he blew it and he waited till it happened. We got it. That's right. The wind blows where it listeth. I hear the sound thereof. You cannot tell where it comes, where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Right? We don't know. We just follow the moving of his Spirit. All right. Any more questions I can't answer?
We don't know where Ararat.
There are... Ararat, yeah, there's a couple places. I mean, I've seen some.
Yeah,
the fact is, if that's not it. Really, if you really think about it, it would take something for that to actually be preserved by now. It would take something. It would really be a miracle. Yeah, I mean, it would. It would take some very specific move for that to actually be still in one place, if that's actually the place. It doesn't matter to me whether it is or isn't, because if they went up there and didn't find it, guess what? It would not change my faith. Because my faith is that the Bible's true, let the word of God be true, every man be a liar. And what we do know is if that wasn't it, guess what it probably did? It rotted. What's wood do? And we're talking how many years from the time of Noah till now, the chances of the ark, if it's not in a frozen state somewhere, if it's in any place with any fluctuation of temperatures or anything, guess what it's done by now? It has decayed. Right, it would have to be something, what they say, you know, with the fossils and things like that. It would have to be some kind of catastrophic, some kind of special deal. You know, to me, those... Oh, it would be fun. Oh, if it was the truth, my goodness, yes. Yes, that would be just absolutely. Right, right. And you know, a lot of that is exactly it. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If they found the ark or the ark of the covenant, there are certain things. it would be so locked in that all of a sudden, really, where's my faith? Faith is the things not seen. Yeah. It is the substance. Faith is the substance. Nothing else is. Faith becomes my substance. And well, good questions. Good class. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. God, you're wonderful. You're so awesome. Your word is so great. And Lord, we just are so appreciative, Lord, for every word of truth that you place there for us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that somehow, Lord, I've helped us to understand that it is okay that if things don't happen right away just like we would want them to, that God, we must understand that there's a process, that you are placing us in a process, and that your goal is to lead us to perfection or completeness. Your goal is to get us into the right place with you, into the place where we become and we're formed in your image, that we are made like you. And so God, I know, Lord, that we would like to rush that and we would like to speed that up, but God, you take time because you want a perfect, Lord, you want something that's complete, you want something that's great. And so God, help each one of us, Lord, to be willing to stay in the process, to stay in the place where you have given us, Lord, where you have brought us, to allow us, Lord, to stay there and just be faithful where we are and faithful what we're doing until, Lord, you have spoken, until your wind has blown in our lives and you've changed, Lord, what you are doing in us and through us into the next thing, to your promises that you want to reveal in our lives. And Lord, I pray that every single one of us would hold on to our promises, that we would hold on, Lord, to the promise of your second coming. Lord, we would hold on to the promises that you've given us in your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would not become weary in well-doing, but God, that we would remain strong in what we believe and what we are doing, and God, that we remain faithful to you. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you bless each person here tonight. Go with us and be with us and help us, Lord, to be everything you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be dismissed in Jesus' name.